Hi, it's Mackenzie, and this is the Male Spouse Brief. I hope you guys have had a great week. Some things that have happened in our week was on Tuesday, I graduated from college. That was really exciting. I now have a degree in public relations, so I have my bachelor's. And that was really fun. We celebrated with Crumble, which is like a cookie company. They have a store in San Clemente, and then they have a store in San Diego. And we ate that on the beach while we watched the sunset. So that was really fun. It was kind of a interesting graduation party, you know. And then other than that, we haven't had too much going on. I'm throwing a baby shower this weekend for a friend, so I'm excited about that. And this week, we have a really exciting episode. It is all about military awards. So I've done a ton of research, and I cannot wait to talk about them. And then because Mother's Day is this weekend, I do have a closing that's about six of the women that were most impactful in my life. So without further ado, let's get into it. Okay, so while planning for the podcast, I was trying to think of different topics and things that people would want to hear about that related to military life that also civilians would want to listen to, and kind of as a spouse, how that affects it. So what I came up with was talking about the five major awards that can be given in any service branch, kind of talking about them, and then some shows and some movies and some people to recognize and kind of where it goes with that. So let's start with the highest honor that anyone can get in the military is the Medal of Honor. And this is for acts of valor. A lot of time this is awarded after someone dies, but there are multiple people that have the Medal of Honor that are still alive. The next, so like the second level, is the Navy Cross or the Air Force Cross. And this is also known as the Distinguished Service Cross. So now, this is for combat only. So you can only receive this if you do something while in combat. I think originally when they first created it, it was for either. And then soon after it was created, they decided, okay, nope, that's strictly for combat. We will do a different award for non-combat or for both. The third is the Silver Star, and then this is the third highest for valor, and then this is for combat as well. And then the fourth is the Distinguished Flying Cross, and this is about heroism and achievement in aerial flight. So if you do something in that is kind of how you're able to achieve this award. And then the fifth one you have is the Bronze Star, and this is for heroic achievement, and this can be through meritorious service, this can be through achievement in combat. It's a lot more popular to receive this award, and it's less specific for the things that you have to do. And then the other award that is given is the Purple Heart, which means that if you are wounded in combat, you receive this award. And then, I didn't know this, so I figured I would add it in, but if you've ever heard of the Blue Star flag or the Gold Star flag or Blue Star families versus Gold Star families, I thought I would touch on that. So for the Blue Star, that is for anybody that has, so a lot of times like families will wave a Blue Star flag, and that means that they have someone in their family that is serving in the military currently. So you can fly a Blue Star flag, and you can look those up and order one if you'd like. So know if you're a Blue Star family that you have somebody serving active duty or reserves, I believe, but in the military currently. And then Gold Star family is an honor no one ever would want to have, but that means that they had a son, daughter, family member that was killed while in the service. And so they do a lot of activities for Gold Star families. There was a hike for Gold Star families here at Camp Pendleton just a couple weeks ago. So learning about all of these, I feel like helps military and civilian realize kind of the honor that goes behind it, what has to be achieved for them to get that. I think very easily, and in my life, you're able to just see that, oh yeah, someone got that award, that's great. But it's pretty hard to really show appreciation for it if you don't know what they did or why they were able to receive that award and things like that. And with Memorial Day coming up, I felt like this was just the most perfect time because growing up, I never really paid too much attention to Memorial Day. You know, it was a day that we got off. It sometimes fell on my father's birthday. It was normally like a long holiday. We camped out or grilled out, excuse me. We would either go to the pool, you know, things like that. And now, obviously being in the military, or being married to somebody in the military, excuse me, I'm not in the military. Being married to somebody in the military, those things come across our plates a lot more. We're told about them. We see them. We kind of recognize them a lot more. But I felt like this Memorial Day, since I'm really more entrenched in the military life, I really wanted to be aware and pay respect for those guys on that day. One of the shows that I watched while preparing for this podcast was the Medal of Honor show. It's on Netflix. I want to say it's 8 or 10 episodes, and it shows people that have received the Medal of Honor. Some of them are no longer alive and some of them are. And so a lot of times with the guys that were still alive, they were shown and they talked about what their experience was like and things and of that nature. And it was so powerful, you guys. I don't think you realize, just like tears in my eyes watching it, because it's so amazing to hear of their heroic acts and the acts of valor that they did. And you kind of sit there and think to yourself, like, could I ever do that? Which I don't know if I could ever do that. And the fact that they are just willing to do these things, and it's really wonderful to hear these guys talk about the ones that did these amazing acts, and to hear them still 10, 15, 20, 60 years later talk about it and so vividly know it and just pay so much respect to them. And I think it's wonderful. Something else I watched while preparing for this episode was called The Outpost. And I'll talk about The Outpost a little bit just because it's really, really amazing. But so the movie is on Netflix. Some, I guess, FYIs would be the best thing. It is rated R and there is a good amount of language in it. But if you can get past that, I would suggest everyone to watch it. I learned a lot. We actually are rewatching it because there are two guys in the movie that won the Medal of Honor. And they, without me realizing, are on the Medal of Honor show on Netflix. So they're both recognized in that show, probably because most all of them are still alive besides the guys that died at the outpost. And telling their stories again made so much more sense of the movie. So I really wanted to watch the movie a second time just because there was so much information and so much going on. So after hearing their stories from the Medal of Honor episode and then watching the movie again, it made a lot more sense. I don't know about you guys, but the characters, because they all look the same so much because they a lot of times had their helmets on and then obviously they have the same camis, I would get really confused with who was who and who did that and who did this. And being able to rewatch it, you just have so much more respect because you really know what's going on. So those are two shows, or one show and one movie, that I would really check out. So let's talk about The Outpost. So this was called Outpost Keating, and oh my gosh. So out of what happened, and I'll just give a brief synopsis in case anybody really wants to watch the movie, I won't like spoil it a ton. It is a camp that was in the middle of the hills in Afghanistan, and it was basically like a football field looking down at it, like a Super Bowl stadium. So it was this tiny little camp in between the mountains, and the Taliban would go up in the mountains and look down at the camp and shoot at them. On October 3rd, there was a huge, huge, huge group of Taliban that came after this camp, and they obviously had a really big fight, and a bunch happened, and watch the movie so you can find out what happened. But it was one of the most decorated groups. I don't know if they're called battalions or squadrons or what they're called in the army, but it was one of the most decorated groups for them to come out of the armory and during all the fights after 9/11. They had 2 Medal of Honor recipients, 1 Distinguished Service Cross, 9 Silver Stars, a ton of Purple Hearts, and a lot of Bronze Stars. And then they did have a couple guys die. And they pay respect to them, and watching them talk about those guys as well in the Medal of Honor episode was really, really touching. So please check it out and let me know your thoughts, because I really loved it. And it just gives you so much more perspective and understanding and respect. I mean, just huge amounts of respect. So the next people I kind of want to talk about were just some people that were either talked about in the shows that I learned or that I did through my research. So to start off, I recently came across this during my research. So on April 14th, that was the day that Corporal Jason Dunham jumped on a grenade, and he survived, but then like 8 days later he died. And so he received the Medal of Honor for jumping on a grenade and saving all the guys around him and allowing the insurgent not to go kill more people, which just, oh my gosh. I mean, I just, like, can you think about that? Like, you see a guy with a grenade and your first thought is to jump on it. My first thought's to run away. And that's clearly why I'm not in the military. But the fact that we have men and women that are willing to jump on a grenade and give up their life, and it's not even like a hard thought. It's just so easy. It's just, oh my gosh, my heart. It's just, it's amazing. The next Medal of Honor person I want to talk about and kind of celebrate was Corporal Joe Vittori, and he is from the Korean War. And oh my gosh, hearing about him was just, oh, it was amazing. So while in the Korean War, they were fighting off, and they were stationed at what was called Hill 749. And so they, kind of opposite to Outpost Keating, they had 4 machine gun spots on this hill. And the Koreans would try and come up, and because they were at a height advantage, they were able to shoot down. So one night, they are all sitting there, and there's 4, and they're not too far spread from each other, but they're spread enough that they can all hit the area. No, nothing's left, like a blind spot. So the Koreans start attacking, and Joe Vittori is at the first machine gun post. And then his machine gun jams, and the guys with him are trying to fix it, and then someone gets shot. And so he's sitting there. He can't shoot, but he can throw grenades. So the guy that he's with is throwing grenades out down the hill at the Koreans that are coming up. And Joe Vittori is kind of scrambling because he sees incoming, so he's trying to shoot. So he decides that he is going to run from the first machine gun post to the second, see what's going on there. So he shows up, and I can't remember the exact order. Definitely check out the whole video about him because they describe it so much better. But he runs back and forth from all 4 machine gun posts because all the guys at each machine post die. And he runs back and forth, so the Koreans think that they're all 4 posts are still being manned and are still, like, they have no chance of taking this hill. So he goes to one, shoots, goes back to another, shoots, and they have no idea because it is during the middle of the night, so it's pitch black. And he gets back to one after he does this a couple times, and he does it back and forth. And while he's running from each post, each like machine gun post, he is putting himself in the line of fire to easily get shot at. So this happens. And it's just, it's amazing to me. I mean, to have that courage, I feel like it's just amazing. So he finally gets back to the first machine gun post, and he doesn't hear any shooting. And he's like, oh my gosh, what's going on? So he looks at the guy that's throwing their grenades, and he's hurt, but he can at least throw the grenades down the hill. And he looks up, and the Korean retreat. They realize that they cannot take this hill because they think all 4 machine gun posts are still being manned. So as they're retreating, Vittori's kind of celebrating. He's like, oh, this is great. Like, I'm so happy. You know, like, it worked. This is amazing. And then gets shot. Which was just, oh, it was one of those things where you're just like, oh my gosh, that is just, that's not right. That shouldn't have happened, you know? And during the video, his buddy, the one that was shot that's showing the grenades, he's telling this whole story and he's talking about it. And just to see that love and admiration that he had for Joe Vittori is amazing. And still, it was, I think 60 years later, he still just had that same feeling. And then he got to be reunited with one of his other guys that was on the hill with them that went back to either get ammo or to help the guy that got hurt. He was like a medic type thing. And just amazing. I mean, just wow. The next person I want to talk about is Colonel David Hacksaw. And this man is amazing, you guys. Oh my goodness. He has 90 awards within his time in the military. He switched from Army to Marines and back to Army. Some of the most noticeable or kind of like big ones is he has 3 Silver Stars and 3 Purple Hearts. But he has 90 awards, you guys. I mean, it is crazy to me that someone can have that many awards and to stay in the military for that long. I mean, truly just wonderful if you ask me. So learning about him was really cool just because I feel like someone who's willing to dedicate that much of their life, it's amazing. So I have all of his awards here in front of me and I figured I would just read a couple just because I think it's so cool that he was, well, and he did Korean service, well, he served in the Korean War, he had Vietnam War service, I mean, just wow. So over 90 U.S. and foreign military awards. Just wow. So he has the Distinguished Flying Cross. He has the Purple Heart with 7 oak clusters. He has the Bronze Star with 7 oak leaf clusters or 7 awards for heroism. He has the World War II Victory Medal. He has the Vietnam Armed Forces Honor Medal. He has the Republic of Korea War Service Medal. He has the Merchant Marine Pacific War Zone Medal. He has the Army of Occupation Medal with Germany and Japan class. I mean, he has so many. And if you look him up, they'll show all the pictures of the ribbons that he will wear. And it's just, he's decked out. And it's really cool. And then he also has some presidential unit citations with the Army. The Meritorious Unit Commendation, the Valor Unit Award with an oak leaf cluster. And then he has a bunch of U.S. badge and patches. So the 327th Infantry Regiment he has the 101st Airborne. He has the U.S. Master Parachutist Badge. I mean, just like, wow. So I think it's really cool and really amazing that we get to learn and that people put out all this information about these men and women as well. And it's just really cool, at least to me. And so I figured it would be really fun for you guys to learn about it. And then when people do get awarded these awards, you're able to understand like, oh, they probably did this or they did some sort of this. And I feel like that just gives them more honor that civilians and military together know what these awards mean. And the impact of these awards is super amazing. To close on the last guy that I want to talk about. So if you've ever been stationed at Camp Pendleton or if you've ever lived at Camp Pendleton or if you've ever drove through Camp Pendleton, you will see the name John Bassalone everywhere. There's a Bassalone Gate. There's a part of I-5 that is dedicated to him. There is a parachute landing that's dedicated to him. You have Bassalone Road that drives through most of Camp Pendleton. Most of the northern part Bassalone Road goes through. I mean, really amazing. So he has the Medal of Honor, and then he was also awarded the Navy Cross after he died. And then something that's really important for like what he did was when you go through Marine Corps boot camp and you go through the Crucible, which is the hardest part of boot camp. You know, it's the 3 days long, they get 4 hours of sleep, 2 meals, like all this stuff, like really, really hard stuff that he has to go through. he has a part of the crucible that is named after him, which I just think is really, I mean, like, wow. So I want to talk about what they have to do during the crucible to be able to kind of honor him. So the John Bassalone challenge takes heart. So this is a part I'm going to read really quick. And what I think is really cool about this is they do it during the second day when they're obviously very tired, very hungry. I mean, it's hard, you know? And I think what's really cool is this shows them that they really have the grit inside them. This shows the Marines before they become Marines that they really have it. And they have that inner strength to push on. And I think what's really, really amazing is that they are able to do this. And even though it's really hard, they are able to show themselves that, hey, we can do this. And I think it's wonderful that we are able to now see the impact of Vietnam and Korea and World War I and II, the effects of these guys, and to see what they do is just amazing, because I think in the end it has the ability to make these Marines stronger. It has the ability to show them that they can do this, and that even though we're not in wartime right now, that they have the ability to do these things. Okay, sorry, I got a little off track. So the Bassalone Challenge is where you carry ammunition cans filled with concrete up a very steep wooded hill, because that's part of what he did while he was in the Marine Corps service. And I think it's so cool that they are able to see that these real life things do take effect and are important when it comes to these really hard things. So for example, in the outpost, a part of the movie is they are moving ammo cans everywhere. And if you know that the Marines have to do a CFT. So for the combat finishes, they're moving ammo cans and they're lifting ammo cans. And so in the heart of it, they're probably like, oh, this is so annoying that I have to lift these ammo cans. But when you're watching the movie in the outpost and they're getting attacked, some of those guys, someone's job to carry those ammo cans so that the ammo can get to those different people. And so in reality, even though it might be stupid and frustrating that you're doing it, it really does show a reason why. You know, we don't ever know what the future is going to hold if we ever are going to go through another war. And you might have to run an ammo can up a steep hill for your machine gun. You never know. So I think it's really cool that the Marines are able to see that, hey, this is important because it saved the lives of so many when this happened. And I just encourage everybody to research these things and to see what these people have gone through so that America can have freedom and that we can live the lives that we do. And I really enjoyed preparing for this podcast. I learned so much, and obviously there's so many people to recognize that it's really hard to name every single person and to share every person's story. But if you even have 10 minutes out of your day that you can just research some people and read their stories, I really think it makes an impact, and I really encourage you guys to do so. All right, so to close off, because Mother's Day is this weekend, I figured that I would share some stories and talk about the women in my life that matter so much to me. So to start off, I want to talk about my mom. Her name's Tracy, and she is the best. If you guys want to know more about the way I was raised, listen to the episode that I did with Crystal and Bianca. And we talked a lot about the way that my parents raised me and all the things that my mom did for me. And just, she's the best. But when I think about the one adjective or the thing my mom taught me the most was, my mom is so hardworking. She currently runs the apprenticeship school that my grandpa was in charge of. So for plumbers, you're able to go there and learn about plumbing. And then you go join a company and you go to classes and all that kind of stuff. And so she runs that, and she deals with crazy plumbers every day. And then she is a professor of math at a local university called Franklin University, where I just graduated from. And with our church, she is what's called the Relief Society president. So she is over all the women ages 18 and older in our group. So I think she probably has, I don't know, anywhere from like probably like 75 to 100 women that she cares for, and she makes sure that all their needs are met, and she checks in with all of them, and she makes sure that lessons are planned for Sunday and that gifts are given for holidays and activities are planned for them. And she just does so much. And then she has three kids and a husband and a dog. And it's just amazing. And she really taught me to work hard, to do whatever you set your mind to that you can accomplish. And now as an adult, I see that the reason I am a certain way is most definitely because of my mom's influence, and that she didn't let anything stop her from reaching her goals and working hard, and that really you can make the life that you want for yourself. And I'm just so, so grateful. So I love you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day. I'm so thankful that you are my mom. And the next person I want to talk about is my grandma, and we call her Bama. Her name is Linda, and this is my mom's mom. And when I think about my Bama, she is a literal angel on this earth, guys. I don't think you realize how kind and giving she is. She does so much. So recently, they moved to North Carolina, and they live in a suburb of Raleigh called Holly Springs. And so they moved into a pretty, like, family-based neighborhood, you know, like, everyone's probably ages, like, 30 to maybe 45. They each all have, like, 2 to 3 kids. And my 70-year-old grandparents move into this neighborhood. And I give them a lot of crap for it because I always say that they're stealing my grandparents. But these families love them. And I know my grandparents love having little kids around, too. My grandma, the little neighbor girls will come over and bake with her, and they just give, and they're so helpful. And I love that they have those neighbors to watch out for them. Just recently, they came back from their beach house in North Carolina. It's really close to Camp Lejeune, but they were there for the weekend, and they came home, and their entire front, like, flower beds had been mulched by the neighbor, and which was so kind, and she was so happy about it. But my Bama just gives and gives and gives, and the word for her is charity. She is truly so charitable. She gives and she cares, and she bakes cookies, and she takes people places, and she is always just giving. And she really taught that to me when I was younger. Every time we make cookies, or we make bagels, or we make anything, it's always like, well, let's take some to the neighbor, let's take some to this person. She's always making dinner for people that are sick in the hospital. Like, she is just always thinking about other people's needs. And I'm so grateful that I have somebody like that and an example to constantly remind me to give and to think about other people. And that is probably one of the biggest things I've learned in my life. If you're having a bad day, figure out how you can serve somebody. And figure out how you can do something for somebody else, because I promise you, when you are done with doing that act, you will feel better. Serving people always makes me feel better. It always makes my problems so much smaller. It changes my mood 100%. I totally recommend it to absolutely everybody. The next person I want to talk about is my mother-in-law. Her name's Connie. And the word that I chose for her was supportive. She is so supportive. Growing up, Kate and I met in high school, and Connie was at every single one of his games. He played lacrosse, and she was always there. Rain, shine, snow, sleet, she was always there cheering him on. When Kate joined the Marine Corps, she was super supportive. She drove all the way down for his boot camp graduation and picked me up in the airport on the way, and truly just so supportive. She came out for our wedding, and she remembers all the things. She texted me on Tuesday to congratulate me for graduating from college, and she is just our little cheerleader. She's so kind when it comes to things like that, and always there to cheer us on. And I'm just so grateful that I married into a family that supports me and Cade, and that is always wanting to make us feel supportive and loved. And I'm blessed, because I know that that's not always the case. The fourth person that I wanted to recognize is Darla. So this would be my stepmother-in-law. This is Cade's stepmom. And the word that I have for her is kindness. Darla is the epitome of kind. She is so kind. I've never seen her be mean to somebody. And she really opened her arms when I joined the family. And I'm so grateful for that. I remember the first time I ever met her was in the bathroom of one of Cade's games. We were warming up because it was freezing. And I just happened to ask her, like, oh, are you here for, like, which team are you here for? Because she didn't really have any, like, identifying gear. And she was like, oh, I'm here for West Rome North. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. And I was like, who are you, like, here for? And she was like, oh, I'm here for Cade. And I was like, oh, which one? And she was like, Culver. And I was like, oh, that's my prom day. And she was like, no way. And so I got to meet her. And then we got talking in the bathroom, which I know is shocking for everybody listening, knowing me gets talking to somebody. And I think, like, 10 minutes later, Tom, like, knocks on the door, which is Cade's dad, and is like, Darla, are you okay? And so we, like, come out, and then I got to meet Tom for the first time, which was awesome. And they are so supportive. They live in Colorado, and they always are the first to call and check in on us and see how we're doing and send really cute texts. And I love that I can go to Darla, and if I have any questions or I need to vent about something, she's always there to lend a ear and to just show me kindness, and I'm really grateful for that. The fifth lady that I wanted to recognize is Michelle, and she is what I call my Utah mom. I did one semester of college in Utah at Utah State University, and I really struggled out there. I really, really struggled with so many things, and Michelle was kind enough to always let me stay at her house on the weekends and get away, and she would take me to get my nails done, and she would take me to my favorite restaurant ever. It's called The Dodo. It's in Salt Lake. If you're ever there, please go. They have the best ravioli, and they have the best Toll House cookie pie. They also have really good peanut butter pie that I will shout out for my mom because that's her favorite, but their Toll House cookie pie is like no other. I will drive any length of amount. I have to have it at least once a year or I think I'll die. And it is the best, you guys. So, so good. But Michelle, every time I'm there, every time I'm talking to her, she is planning something for somebody else. She is serving somebody else. She is always thinking about the other people in her life. And it's always such a wonderful example to me. She was so willing to help me out and to listen to me. And she was very supportive of Cade and I from the start. So, so kind. And I love every time I go over, she's like, oh, let me grab this for a sister I know, or oh, let me grab this for my family, or oh, let me grab this for somebody else. She's just always thinking about her kids and her husband and her extended family and the neighbors. And I just think it's so wonderful to know somebody that is so selfless and that puts their needs so last because she loves all these other people. And it's a constant reminder of how can I be like Michelle. Now, the last person I want to recognize is Jenna. She is what I call my other mom as well. She is married to one of my high school teachers that I called my school dad, and very close with him. And so as I got close with him, I got close with his family. And Jenna has shown me what it is like to be such an amazing mom. I never really got to see how many of my families or like people around me were with little kids, like on a full-time basis, just because obviously like my parents had me and my siblings. And so I was never like old enough to really take in what it's like to parent. I've babysat obviously, but to see like firsthand, like how she parents her children is a very wonderful example. She has two cute kids. The first is Eloise, who is the love of my life. I love that child so much. And then they have a little baby who's not a baby anymore. He's one, and his name's Jack-Jack, and I love him too. He just is a corona baby, so he is really afraid of people, but he's warmed up to me totally a ton, but definitely is not used to seeing other people, but I love him totally equally. But Jenna is such a good mom, and watching her, how she interacts with her kids, and even like when Eloise is having a meltdown, to watch her have such grace and patience and kindness, and to not yell or not raise her voice, and to just be able to be like, okay, Eloise, I'm gonna need you to stop, and to use such like rational thinking with a four-year-old and have the four-year-old actually respond to it is remarkable to me. And I'm so grateful that Jenna trusts me to be with her kids and to watch them and just have these experiences with them. But to just have her example and to be able to watch her and see that example and to know, like, I want to do that in the future when I have kids, and I want to be able to have those same qualities and characteristics, and I want to teach my kids those things, and I want to react when my kids throwing themselves on the ground or in public doing something I don't want to do. It was just a wonderful reminder of how I want to be as a parent. So I really hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I really, really enjoyed researching it. And I, if anything, please watch those movies. Please research. Please do your own thinking about all these people that have served our country and died for our country, because I think it's so important. And this Memorial Day, I really hope that you can take a couple minutes out of the barbecuing and the beach hopping and all that kind of stuff and think about who and why we have this day. And on Mother's Day this weekend, I really hope that you will call and send love to the different women in your life that are like mothers or are your mother. And I'm just grateful, and I just hope that all the listeners know how blessed I am to have so many wonderful women in my life. And I hope one day to exude all of those same qualities for my future children and the generations that come before and after me. And I am so grateful to do this podcast, and I will catch you guys next Friday.